thankful that you are faithful. You have been faithful to us, and you will continue to be faithful to us. Lord, as Paul says, you're faithful even when we are not so faithful, because you cannot deny yourself. Lord, we thank you that your faithfulness is not dependent upon us. It's based upon who you are. And so, Lord, we thank you, Lord, for the times. We hear the testimonies this morning. And, Lord, all of us have different testimonies of you coming through for us. And so, Lord, this morning we stop to say thank you. Thank you, Lord. Thank you for rescuing us. Thank you for making a way where there seems to have been no way. Thank you, Lord, for intervening in our lives and in our circumstances when we have been the ones who have created all of the issues. And Lord, we ask you to continue to minister to us. Continue to speak your word into our hearts. Continue to touch us by your spirit. Continue to lead us. Continue to guide us. Father, we ask, O God, that you might enable us to receive your word this morning. That, Father, might cause there to be good soil in our hearts to receive your word and cause there to be faith to act upon your word. Father, I pray, O God, that you might just fill my mouth, O God, with the things that you want to have said. And Father, I pray that above all, that Christ will be glorified and he will receive honor and praise as your word comes forth. Lord, I pray these things in Jesus' name. And everyone said, and amen. This morning, I want to start a new series coming from the book of Daniel, a series called The Sovereignty of God, looking at the book of Daniel and seeing some of the themes that are in that book, some of the things that stand out, and sharing around those things, not necessarily getting to a lot of details, but looking at some of the important themes. You know, this past Christmas, December, November last year, I realized that I knew I was weird, but I realized I was much more weird than I thought. Yep. Thank you, Joyce. Yeah. You know, my wife and kids asked me what I wanted for Christmas. And I'm like, I don't know what I want. So I eventually said to my daughter, well, just get me some T-shirts, long-sleeve T-shirts, that will do. And so that's what she did. But my wife still wanted to know, well, what do you want? And I'm like, I don't know. So as I was thinking about it, I said, well, I've put a list of some books on Amazon, three books, they're all commentaries on the book of Daniel. You know, and I realized, Joe, that's weird. I mean, all you want for Christmas is books about the Bible, about Daniel. I mean, other people want all sort of gadgets, but I have no real pleasure in most of those gadgets. I'm just intrigued by the book of Daniel, a lot of the things that are written there, and that's why I wanted those books. And so it's fine for you to call me weird. I'm weird, I hope, in a special way. Amen. So today I want to talk about being faithful to the end, being faithful to God to the end. Because you see, as we just sang, he has committed himself to us. He has determined that he will be faithful to us. And so it's up to us now to determine how will we respond to who he is and to how he is and to the way he functions. And we see this idea coming out in the book of Daniel of people being faithful to God to the very end. To the very end. That's how Daniel and the Hebrew boys lived their lives. So turn with me, if you will, to Daniel chapter 1. Daniel chapter 1. I'll read the first four verses. We'll work our way through, but I'll just read the first four verses here. In the third year of the reign of Joachim, king of Judah, Nebuchadnezzar, king of Babylon, came to Jerusalem and besieged it. And the Lord gave Jehoiakim, king of Judah, into his hand, along with some of the vessels of the house of the Lord, and he brought them to the land of Shinar, to the house of his God, and he brought the vessels into the treasury of his God. Then the king ordered Aspenaz, the chief of his officials, to bring in some of the sons of Israel, including some of the royal family and of the nobles, youths in whom was no defect, who were, this king of Thais, who were good-looking, showing intelligence in every branch of wisdom, endowed with understanding and discerning knowledge, and who had ability for serving in the king's court. And he ordered him to teach them the literature and the language of the Chaldeans. So most of you are familiar with the book of Daniel and understand the story. But just to remind you some things, just to give you some background first. As it says here, the Jews were in exile. They were taken to exile because of their unfaithfulness to the Lord. So sometimes there are consequences to our unfaithfulness. Even though God remains faithful, God promised them in Jeremiah 29 that, listen, I have a plan for you to give you a hope and a future and to prosper you, etc. But still, until that time, you're going to experience some consequences of your unfaithfulness. And so they were taken into exile. And so were Daniel and the Hebrew boys and many others who had remained somewhat faithful to the Lord. The scholars tell me that Daniel and his friends may have been around 15, 16, 17. So they were young men, teenagers, when they were taken into exile. And just to remind you that, you know, these guys, if you look through the book, you can see that they were good guys. They seem to have been faithful to the Lord, but they end up in exile because of the judgment of God upon the community. And the same thing happens to us today, that you and I can be faithful to the Lord, but if God decides to judge our community, judge our nation, we are going to be impacted. You know, there are times when God hides his people away in a little area like Goshen and protect them, but there are other times when you just experience it. If we're going to go through economic crisis, we are going to feel it. If there's going to be a pandemic, it's going to affect us. So it behoves us really to be praying for our leaders. If our president makes certain decisions, it's going to affect us. And so it becomes, as I was thinking about this, it becomes even more important to be praying for our leaders when there are leaders in place that you and I might not necessarily favor. Because the fact is, whatever they decide is going to affect us. You know, sometimes we do the opposite. It's the one that we like to pray for. Well, we need to pray for that one too. But the one that you struggle with, that's the one you need to pray for even more. And so these guys end up in Babylon, not because they were wicked sinners, not because they were unfaithful to the Lord, but because their entire community had been unfaithful to God. And so they ended up in exile. And as I said, Daniel and his friends were perhaps teenagers, according to the scholars. And as I've looked through and I've looked at what the scholars say, they say Daniel ended up there in exile. It says, until the time of Cyrus the king. So he was there for the Babylonians, he was there for the Medes, and then Cyrus the king and the Persian comes in, and he was there up until the third year at least of Cyrus the king. Chapter 1 says up until the first year, but chapter 10 says in the third year of Cyrus the king. So it seems, somewhat the scholars say, that he was there, Daniel at least, for roughly 65 years. 65 years, spent most of his life in exile. Not because he has done anything wrong, but because of his people around him and his poor parents and the impact. And so the reality is that no matter the circumstances in which we find ourselves, you and I, it behoves us to remain faithful to God. Daniel didn't end up being bitter and blaming all of his people around him for his condition. Rather, he sought to maintain his walk and his relationship with the Lord. And so here it says in verse 4 that he, along with others, were chosen. These guys, in their normal circumstances, would have been the elite. They were chosen to be educated and trained to serve the king. And these guys came from noble families. That's what it says in verse 4 there. It says in verse 3, from noble families, the king ordered Ashpenaz, the chief of his officials, to bring in some of the sons of Israel, including the royal family and nobles. So these guys were the cream of the crop. And here they end up in bondage, so to speak, physically, not being able to freely to do what they want to do, end up being in exile because of what has happened around them. And these guys are the special ones that, you know, when people want to control another nation, what they do is try and get the cream of the crop. Those who have the intelligence, those who have the abilities, and you try, if you can win those, you can win a nation. And so it's not surprising that the king chose these guys and said, okay, let's now teach them the Babylonian stuff. Let's teach them the Babylonian ways. And they had to be educated in that. But one of the first things that they did here in chapter 1 was to try and change their names. So if we move on down to verse 6. Now among them from the sons of Judah were Daniel and Ananiah and Mishael and Azariah. Then the command of the officials assigned new names to them. And to Daniel he assigned the name Belshazzar, to Ananiah Shadrach, and to Mishael Meshach, and to Azariah Abednego. One of the first things they did was to try and change their names. Do you know what they're trying to do? Change your identity. Change your understanding. Because the new names are names after their gods. Daniel means God is my judge. God is my judge, which can be understood in two ways. You know, you can understand it in a very negative way, that whatever I do, God is going to judge me. Or you can understand it as God is the one who's going to come and defend me. God is the one who's going to come and vindicate me. God is the one who's going to intervene in my life and in my circumstances. And in this book, that's a picture, I believe, that Daniel wants us to get. That God being his judgment, that God was going to intervene in his life and in his circumstances. But the enemy was trying to rob them of their identity, and put you of their purpose, of their destiny. And sometimes the name talks about your history. And so rob them of their history. Because if you're talking about God being your judge, then if I can remove that, you'll stop talking about your God. And sometimes it speaks about your character, as we saw with Jacob, where Jacob meant supplanter, and God changed his name to Israel, which means one who prevailed with God, trying to give him a new understanding of who he is and his purpose. But names back then were important, and I believe even today is important, because when somebody calls another a negative name, it can have some very serious impact upon them. And that's one of the first things the enemy tries to do to you and me as children of God, is to rob us of our identity. To cause us not to understand how God sees you and how God sees me. And cause us to live a life based upon what others say about us, especially negative things. So you walk around with low self-esteem. You walk around thinking, I'm a nobody, I'm stupid, I'm an idiot. It's the enemy who is behind stealing your identity and my identity. And that's why it becomes key for us as believers to know what God says about us, who God says I am, and to accept what God says I am, irrespective of how I feel. All this, a lot of the issues we have today, is because people refuse to accept how God sees them. And so they believe that the way they feel, that is truth. But that's not, you and I know that the way you feel changes from day to day. And so we've come up with all sort of terms to try and justify the way people feel. And some of these terms, as you know, as I hear them, I'm like, I don't even know what that means. But it's true. And I'm not saying this to look down on people. I'm just saying, I don't even know what you're talking about. You tell me that you're non-binary. That means today you are this and tomorrow you are that and you're somewhere in between. And that is because you have lost your identity. So you don't know who you are. That's the enemy at work in our society. You see, friends? And if we go back to the Word of God becomes clear. And if you accept what God says, sooner or later your feelings will align with God's Word. You see? And so You can see it right there in the book of Daniel. The enemy comes and he tries to steal people's identity. I remember my son, Elliot, you know, when we were naming our children, we understood the importance of name. So Elliot means faithful. Faithful to God. And his, one of his middle names is Asher, which means joy. Asher being one of the sons of Israel. And after Elliot went through the challenge of the devil, where the devil brought all this oppression upon him, and he contemplated taking his own life, and God intervened sovereignly and set him free. He said, when he looked back, he realized that what the devil did was to try and rob him of his identity. Rather than you experiencing joy, you experience the depression. And so he could reflect back on the fact that he was called Asher meant that God wanted him to experience and live with the joy of the Lord, but the enemy comes in and rob you of that and bring this dark cloud upon your life, which brings destruction. And so, my friends, it's important for us to embrace who God says we are, irrespective of how you feel. This is what the Word of God says, and to walk in it and live in it, and to allow that to transform us. When Jesus met Simon Peter in the New Testament, Simon, Jesus changed his name to Cephas or Peter. Simon, they say, means to hear. But Peter or Cephas really means rock. But not just a little rock, it means a boulder. Something that is firm, something that is strong. And so Jesus changed his name as it were to say to Peter, listen, I'm calling you as a boulder. I'm calling you to be strong. I'm calling you to be a pillar really upon which the church will be established. And we look back in history and we can see that. When they changed Daniel's name to Belshazzar, Belshazzar means Bel or Marduk protects his life. I don't want none other God to come and protect my life. I don't want no demon assigned to me. And so throughout this book, every time they might refer to him, also called Belshazzar, but the emphasis here is that he's Daniel, one upon whom God has called and the one for whom God acts on his behalf. And so these young men are brought into Babylon. And many of you know that throughout history, since that time, Babylon has become a term referring to a place of oppression because of the oppression that God's people experience when they're in Babylon. And the interesting thing, I said, Daniel served for 65 years, and as you read through the book, under different kings, different dominions, and yet still he remained faithful to God. Didn't bow. Because he understood something which says to me that these young men, from they were young, their parents established them in the Word of God. They weren't raised arbitrarily. Even though the nation around them was arbitrary, it seemed as if they had some parents, some adults, quote unquote, battled for the seed. Some adults who sought to teach them God's Word, sought to raise them in the things of God. So that when they were away from their family, they still knew how to stand. Very, very key, because you don't know where your children are going to end up. Some might go off to some ungodly college, but they still need to be able to stand in the midst of all the ungodliness around them, in the midst of all of the philosophies that deny the existence of God. And so here, in the very first chapter, verse 8, this is what it says. But Daniel made up his mind that he would not defile himself with the king's choice food or with the wine with which he drank. So he sought permission from the commander of the officials that he might not defile himself. Now God granted Daniel favor and compassion in the sight of the command of the officials. And the commander of the officials said to Daniel, I'm afraid of my lord the king who has appointed your food and your drink. For why should he see your faces looking more haggard than the youths who are your own age? Then you would make me forfeit my head to the king. In other words, this is a serious regime. And so Daniel, it says, made up his mind. Young man in his teens. They could look at him and say, young man, listen, you have a bright future here in Babylon. You are the cream of the crop and the king likes you guys. So all you have to do, look at all this, look at this nice food, this nice pig here that we have roasted. What's your problem? Just eat the pig and you can be exalted in this kingdom. But it says Daniel made up his mind. And what Daniel, what really means is that Daniel said to himself, listen, I'm not going to eat any of this food stuff that they have, because a lot of it was offered to the gods, and a lot of it, they say, would have contained animals that according to Leviticus were unclean. So he says, I'm not going to defile myself with those things. And when the commander said, listen, if you guys don't look as good as the others, you know what's going to happen to me? They're going to cut off my head. In other words, the king doesn't joke. So the commander is actually putting his life on the line. And what it also meant is that Daniel and his young men ran the risk of losing their lives. How dare you refuse the king's food? So when he says he made up his mind not to defile himself, what he's saying is that Daniel made up his mind, listen, if I die, I die. If I go to prison, that's where I end up, but I'm not going to defile myself. And so it's very, very important for all of us, you, me, our young folks, to have that type of determination in our hearts. That I'm not going to defile myself. I'm not going to twist God's word. I'm not going to disobey God's word because other people say so. If I end up in prison, so be it. If I lose this job, that's all right. God is looking for a company of people like that. You know, a few years back, I don't know if our young people would know this name, but the older ones should. There was a woman named Kim Davis. She was living out in Kentucky. The clerk of the court or something like that in Kentucky. After they passed the law that says that, you know, same gender marriage is fine. And here comes a homosexual couple into her office wanting to get this marriage certificate. And this woman decided that as a Christian, she's not going to give it to them. No, you may or may not agree with her action, but she was seeking to be faithful to what she understood. And what was the consequence? She ended up in prison, ended up in jail for several days, like about 5 days, and then ended up in court. And the last thing I read is that, you know, even though they dismissed certain charges against her, she ended up being fined, having to pay a fine of over $300,000. The court expenses for these guys, and these guys claim that because she refused to give them the marriage certificate, they experienced all sorts of emotional turmoil, even though they went down the road and got it from some other place. It didn't stop them from doing what they wanted to do, but they sued her, and they got over $100,000. That's the society in which we live. And so God is looking for some people who will say, I don't care what happens. Do whatever you will, but I'm not going to defile myself. I'm not going to disobey God's word. I'm not going to say that what you're doing is okay. I'm not going to come out and say anything, but if you ask me a question, be prepared for the answer to be in line with God's word. You understand what I'm saying, friends? I'm not looking to create any issues for anybody else, but if you put me on the spot, I'm going to tell you what the word of God says. Because I've already made up my mind. Our society has become more and more hostile to Christianity. A friend of mine was saying, she's in Canada, that there's what they call Christophobia, which is fear of Christians and fear of Christ. I don't see it as hostility. And God is looking for some people who decide, listen, if I lose this job, that's all right. God will take care of me. If I don't get this promotion, that's all right. God will take care of me. So Daniel made up his mind that he'd rather be imprisoned or killed, but he's not going to compromise. You know what Jesus said in Luke 14? Luke 14, verse 26 and 27 says this. If anyone comes to me and does not hate his own father and mother and wife and children and brothers and sisters, yes, even his own life, he cannot be my disciple. Whoever does not carry his own cross and come after me cannot be my disciple. This is Jesus, you know, Jesus, the meek and mild, gentle Jesus, meek and mild. And he's saying to those who want to follow him, listen, this is not an easy road. Make up your mind. If you're going to come with me, make up your mind to take up your own cross and die. And Luke used the word hate here. He's not talking about being hostile to all of these folks who are part of your family. No, that's not what he's talking about. He's talking about the fact that our love for God, our love for the word of God, our commitment to Christ, in comparison to our commitment to all these other folks, there shouldn't be any comparison, in other words. There shouldn't be any question in the mind of people who comes first. That if any of these people come in the way of appear to be some sort of idol, they're going to be removed. They're not going to stop me from serving my God. That's what Jesus is trying to say. He's not saying go out there and show hostility towards your children and your parents. He's not saying that, but he's saying that your commitment to God, that if any of these people bring anything to hinder you, let them know that it's not going to work. And so Daniel refused the food offered to idols. And by the way, you can see Daniel's attitude, because when Daniel came to this man, it says he sought permission. He didn't just, you know, become arrogant. You know, it seemed as if he called him aside and explained to him, saying, sir, you know we are Jews, and you know what our Jewish belief is. There's no way, you know, I could do this. Is there something else we can do? What about giving us some vegetables instead? So he came, I believe, with a very humble attitude. So much so, let's look at it again. It says that in verse 9, now God granted Daniel favor and compassion. In other words, after Daniel finished sharing with this man, the man felt compassion for Daniel. He realized the dilemma these young men were in because of their belief in God. And so that's why he was open to saying, okay, I'll follow your suggestion for 10 days. Eat the vegetables for 10 days and let's see what happens. And so I say that to say, when we make up our mind, it doesn't mean we come across being arrogant and being defiant. No, you come across with meekness and gentleness, but still being firm. Still saying, I understand your situation, but, based upon my commitment to the Lord, there's no way I can go ahead with this. But maybe, there's some other way we can work things out without me being disobedient to my God. So he found compassion there. God showed him favor because they'd made up their mind, because they'd sought to be faithful to God even to the end, if it means the end of my life. And many times we find ourselves in situations that God is waiting for us to have that type of determination before he intervenes in the circumstance. Many times you and I are standing by and like, Lord, why don't you intervene? And Lord's like, I need to see your stance. I need to see where you stand before I intervene. By the way, it's still okay to say amen. Oh. The Hebrew boys, as you know, later on in chapter 3, when the king wanted them to bow down to the statue, they said, King, we can't do that. And we say, King, our God is able to deliver us. But you know what, King? Even if he doesn't, we're still not going to bow. In other words, they'd already made up their minds. They'd already taken up their cross. And they were prepared to die for their faith in God. And I believe, my friends, that in our society, we have already reached that point, and it's going to become more and more evident like that, that if we are going to serve our God, if we are going to serve and act upon God's word, there are times when we might lose a job somewhere. There are times when you might lose a promotion somewhere. There are times when people will turn away from you. But praise God, he will never forsake us. But we need to have that settled in our hearts. Because if it's not settled, the devil is going to put us in different circumstances to try and break us. In Daniel chapter 6, this is now under, I think, the Medes, different kingdom. The king had decided that he wanted to promote Daniel. Daniel 6 and verse 3. Then this Daniel began distinguishing himself amongst the commissioners and satraps because he possessed an extraordinary spirit, and the king planned to appoint him over the entire kingdom. Then the commissioners and satraps began trying to find a ground of accusation against Daniel in regard to government affairs, but they could find no ground of accusation or evidence of corruption, inasmuch he was faithful and no negligence or corruption was to be found in him. In other words, this man was a man of integrity. He didn't cut corners, so he wasn't negligent. He wasn't, you know, going off and not doing what was his responsibility, and he wasn't showing any favor to people here or there and getting like a bribe. You know, one of the most frustrating things about our political system is the amount of corruption involved. But Daniel wouldn't allow himself to be corrupt. And you can see corruption goes all the way back. It's part of how humans function. That's why even in the Leviticus, it talks about not taking bribes. It's part of how humans function. And you and I need to be aware of that. So that as we function in this world, people are going to come and they're going to try to get around things and they'll offer you all sort of bribes. And you need to be aware when, you know what, this is not right. Sorry, sir, I can't do that. But they couldn't find anything. The search. What a testimony. For young men to have, what a testimony over the years for them to look at his life. I can't find anything. Not even a parking ticket, they would say today. But I'm talking about serious corruption. So much so, the only thing they say we could find against him is that this man is serious about praying to his God. And so these guys came up with a thing. I said, went to the king. I said, King, let it be for the next 30 days. Nobody can pray to anybody else but you. And the Bible says Daniel knew that this was no pastor's law. And as usual, he went and prayed 3 times a day to his God with his window open as usual. Didn't miss a step. And so they caught him praying to God. Would it be that that was what happens to us as Christians? They catch us praying to God. They catch us worshiping God. They catch us singing your songs to of Zion. The only thing you can find against her is that she loves to worship her God. She's here on time and she works all the full hours. And she's back when lunch is finished. And she's polite and courteous. The only thing we can find is that she likes to worship her God. So boss, make it be that we don't want any noise around us. We don't want any music around us. You understand what I'm saying, saints, when we talk about being faithful to the end? But Daniel's stance, my friends, I put here the foundation for favor and miracles. You see, if Daniel hadn't taken that stance, he wouldn't see God intervene. God intervened and caused them to be just as good-looking and as well-off as those who ate the king's portion. God intervened when these guys were thrown into the fiery furnace because they already took a stand. If they were waiting, saying, well, you know, God is just going to cause this furnace not to light or something, they would have missed it. And so many times, my friends, we talk about waymaker. Many times, the waymaker will come through after you and I take a stand. I'm not going to deny the Lord. So I'm going to lose this job. And then, no, God can open the door to give me another job. You see? Then, no, God can give me another opportunity. Then, no, even if nothing happens, there's a testimony, a witness that somebody has there in their mind and in their hearts. Look at this man. He gave up this opportunity because of his commitment to the Lord. I had a friend who had to do that in a well-known company because as he was moved up in the hierarchy, he realized that there was a lot of unethical things being done. And so he decided, listen, I'm not going to partake of those unethical stuff. And so Daniel made his decision, and his appearance, it says in verse 15 of chapter 1, it says, at the end of 10 days, their appearance seemed better, and they were fatter than all the youths who had been eating the king's choice meat. One of the things I have there in the notes is that God rewards faithfulness. And it's in these circumstances, as these men were faithful, coming out of the fire furnace, the king promoted them to higher places of responsibility. But they had to go through the issue first. Because many companies, whether they realize it or not, are still looking for people of integrity. It ends up that they can't find them, so they just put somebody else there. But many companies are actually looking for people of integrity. So God, my friend, rewards faithfulness. And if you lose your life, guess what? He still rewards faithfulness. He says, well done, good and faithful servant. Enter into the joy of the Lord. This past week, we were studying Paul in Philippians. And Paul says, for me to live is Christ and to die is gain. So I'm going to live and I'm going to declare the goodness of God. I'm going to live my life consistent with God's word. For me to live is Christ. And you know what? If I lose my life, I'm going to a better place. To die is gain. Amen. So I'm in a win-win situation as long as I make up my mind to be faithful. Let's talk a little bit now about the help of the Lord. Verse 17 of chapter 1. As for these four youths, God gave them. So that God gave them knowledge and intelligence in every branch of literature and wisdom. Daniel even understood all kinds of visions and dreams. Verse 19, the king talked with them, and out of them all, not one was found like Daniel, Ananias, Mishael, and Azariah. So they entered into the king's personal service. As for every matter of wisdom and understanding about which the king consulted them, he found them to 10 times better than all the magicians and conjurers who were in all his realm. And Daniel continued until the first year of Cyrus the king. So what we have here, it says God gave them wisdom. God gave them the ability to learn these things. My friends, God will teach you things. He will help you to learn and grasp things. My wife will tell you that when she felt the Lord wanted her to go into medicine, at that time she was struggling with math, not understanding a thing. And she says, Lord, if you want me to go into medicine, then you have to help me. And within a few weeks or months? Within a month or two, she was at the top of the class. God has opened her mind to be able to understand the principles. You see, friends? When I was in high school, you know, in the English system, you have exams that you have to do when you're finishing the final year, exams set by the University of Cambridge or the University of London. And those exams are what they look at to allow you to come into college. So they're like equivalent to some of our ACTs. And I was struggling with physics. We had gotten a teacher that, you know, sometimes it really is a teacher. How many of you know what I'm saying? A child can be struggling with a subject, it might be math or whatever. It sometimes really is a teacher. And this situation was a teacher. She was a new teacher. And I remember some of us went to the principal and said, sir, we're not understanding. It's too late. And so I failed physics. And the principal says, well, just repeat it next year. And I did repeat it the next year, got me a good grade, I think I got a B, and went to university and did physics every single semester while I was at college and got my degree in applied physics. You understand what I'm saying, friends? God has the ability to teach us things and to help us to be successful. And that's what happened with Daniel. And so you might be struggling in an area
Ask the Lord to help you. Ask the Lord to open your mind so you can grasp the principles. Ask the Lord to give you a memory so you can recall the stuff that you studied. Now listen, this is just a word of advice. If you haven't studied, then there's nothing to recall. But if you have studied, sometimes under stress and different things, you just can't recall. But God will cause you to calm down and bring back things to your mind. And this happened to my wife again. She has friends who, after a while, realize that whatever she studied at the last moment ends up coming on these exams. So they come around and say, let me see what you're studying. Let me see what you're studying. Because whatever she's studying, the Lord has led her to study these things, and those questions appear on the exam. So, restudy or refresh, whatever term you want to use, review. But God is able to do that. Now, that's what God did for these men, and God will do the same thing for you and for me. But Daniel got more than that. He got the ability to understand dreams and visions, spiritual stuff, spiritual giftings. And one of the things we see in the book of Daniel, which we'll talk about perhaps next time, is dreams and visions. And you see some amazing things where king get dream and nobody can interpret it. Nobody even know what the dream is. And Daniel get the same dream from the Lord. Because you see the sovereignty of God being at work, speaking to us supernaturally and helping us to understand things that the normal person wouldn't grasp. Put here also, not only does God teach us things, but he can help us to excel. As was read there in chapter 6, verse 3, to excel in everything that we do. So it's not as if God is just satisfied with us being mediocre. No, God wants us to do our best, and then he takes our best and causes it to be impressive in the sight of others and cause us, grant us success. So let's just reflect on a few things from the faithfulness of Daniel and the call to us to be faithful to the end. One, as I said earlier, we are impacted by judgment on the community. Whatever is happening around us oftentimes will affect us. And we need to be aware of that, but still be prepared to be faithful to God. Two, to trust in the Lord with all our hearts. There's an old time, a proverb I learned as a child. Proverb 3, verses 5 and 6. It says, trust in the Lord with all your heart and do not lean on your own understanding. In all your ways, acknowledge him and he will make your path straight. In other words, trust in the Lord. Don't trust in your own abilities. Don't trust in what you think you can do by yourself. Don't trust in our systems that are around us. If I might dare say, don't even trust in your government. Trust in the Lord with all your heart. Commit everything to him. Don't lean on your own understanding. Because a lot of our understanding has been tainted by the world. And we think we're smart, at least the world thinks it's smart. We have some of the brightest minds in this country who come up with the most stupid things. Amen. It's true. They think they're smart. That's what Romans 1 says. Professing to be wise, they became fools. So the Bible said, don't lean to your own understanding. The way of a man leads to death. It seems right, but it leads to death. Lean upon the word of Almighty God. Trust him with all your heart and lean upon Almighty God. He says, in all your ways, acknowledge him. You know, what it means then is, in whatever you're doing, put God first. Whatever you're doing, submit it to the Lord. In whatever you're doing, saying, Lord, I want your will. I want your way. I want your stuff to be involved in what I'm doing. In all your ways, acknowledge him. This acknowledge is not just some intellectual thing. It's a real practical, down-to-earth thing. I don't want to go into something that I'm not sure God is leading me into. So I'm going to submit it to the Lord, ask the Lord to open the doors, ask the Lord to confirm his will before I rush into it. In all your ways, acknowledge him. It says, then he, one version says, he will direct your paths. That's what Daniel and his friends did. They acknowledged God in all of their ways, and God was the one who opened doors for them and caused them to find favor in the eyes of kings and the eyes of leaders and exalted them in the midst of a very pagan society. Oh, my. And one of the things Daniel does is when God intervenes, he gave glory to God. And we don't have time to look at that this morning, but he would always magnify the name of the Lord and say, King, it is God, my God, who has revealed these things to me. And oftentimes in doing that, the kings themselves come to acknowledge God. He didn't shy away from giving God all the glory. As we reflect on this, in the midst of decay and decadence, I have here, God always has a remnant. How many understand what I'm saying? God always has a remnant. There always has some people who have remained faithful to him. And he invites you and me to be a part of that company of people. In the time of Elijah, Elijah thought he was the only prophet. And the Lord said to him, no, fool yourself. I have 7,000 who have not bowed their knees to Baal. There's always a remnant, my friends. When Moses sent out the 12 spies and 10 came up with a negative report, you still had 2 who were faithful to God. So no, God can give us the land. Let's remain faithful to him. I'm going to ask Pastor Sean if he'd come on back. And in the time of Christ, God still had a remnant. Yet, there in the book of Luke, yet Simeon, who the Lord said to him, you're not going to die until you see the Redeemer. And you remain faithful to God. Or you have Anna, the prophetess, whose husband died after 7 years of marriage, and she remained faithful to God. There's always a remnant to a faithful. So don't let the devil tell you, say, you are the only one, and you're weird and strange. No, God is a company of people. And in fact, I believe that's why we have not seen judgment, at least a more stronger judgment. We're already under judgment in this nation. The foolishness I see all around me is a sign of judgment. But a real strong judgment is because there's a remnant in this society, a remnant of people who refuse to bow, a remnant of people who refuse to serve pagan gods and refuse to serve secularism and refuse to bow down at the knees of financial stuff. Money is not their God. Another reflection is that suffering, my friend, is a part of the journey. Get that right into our own spirit. Suffering is a part of the journey, so you might as well be prepared to suffer and die if necessary. These Hebrew boys were prepared to suffer. They could have ended up spending the rest of their life in prison. And when they were going into the fire furnace, they didn't know what was going to happen. And I don't know if any of you have ever been burnt. I've only got a little, here or there, a little oil, might spill on me or something, hot oil. And you're like, man, this thing burns. Sister Betty got a little burning last year. Hot. It's not pleasant. But they were prepared for suffering. You and I need to be prepared to suffer. Suffer for the sake of the Lord. But the good news is, God rewards the faithful. That there is a crown that awaits the faithful. The writer of James says it this way, James 1 verse 12. Blessed is the man who perseveres under trial. For once he has been approved, he will receive the crown of life, which the Lord has promised to those who love him. If you don't get rewarded in this life, that's still all right. The Lord will still reward you and me for our faithfulness. So he calls us to be faithful unto the end. Let's stand. Let's just bow our heads. Maybe you're in this house this morning, and if you have sat through and you have sang songs, or at least you have heard them in song, and you have heard some of the things I've shared, and you're saying, Pastor Joe, you know, I've drifted from the Lord. My commitment is not a commitment being faithful to the end. And this morning, Pastor Joe, I want to recommit myself to the Lord. I'm going to ask you just to raise your hand right where you're standing. Anybody who needs to recommit themselves to the Lord this morning, to be faithful no matter what comes my way. And as we're standing in His presence this morning, let's just ask the Lord to search us, each of us, to see if there are anything that comes like an idol before us on God. Anything that would cause me to waver in my commitment to the Lord. Anything that the Lord says, give this up, I would struggle. Jesus says you can't follow Him unless you hate father and mother, sister and brother and children. Yeah, even your own life. Ask the Spirit of God to show you, is there anything that could cause me to waver in my commitment to the Lord? Anything that the Lord says, give it up. But Abraham, the Lord told him to sacrifice his son who was a gift to him. And so this morning, I'm going to ask us just to spend a moment before the presence of the Lord. Ask in the Holy Spirit. Holy Spirit, search me. Search me. You know me. And see, Holy Spirit, if there's something in my heart, something in my life, something that comes up from time to time that hinders me from being faithful to the Lord. And let's just give that thing to the Lord right now. Let's just take a moment to ask in the Spirit to search us. And if He shows you something, submit it, surrender it to the Lord.
Reminded of the Apostle Peter when the Lord told him Before the cock crows twice, you will deny me three times. There was something in Peter's heart that wasn't settled, but he didn't realize it. After he got things settled and was restored by the Lord said to me in John, you know, when you're old, they're going to take you places and do things to you against what you might desire. And Peter, tradition says, end up being crucified upside down. He got over his weakness and fear of people and ended up being taken to places he didn't want to go, but this is what God wanted. This is what God had ordained for him. And the same thing may happen to some of us. In our commitment to the Lord, you don't know where you might end up. You don't know what God might do through you or where he might send you or who he might send you to. But we want to be faithful to the end. So Holy Spirit, we ask you to continue to search us. Holy Spirit, show us if there are any cracks in our foundation. Show us if there are any cracks in our commitment to the Lord. Show us, Lord, if there are any weaknesses that the enemy might seek to exploit. Father, we all want to be faithful. Lord, none of us want to be that individual who would deny you. That person who would join in with a crowd and say negative things about who you are. So, Father God, we ask you by your Spirit to search us. Help us, O God, to lay aside the things that so easily beset us. And to run this race with our eyes fixed upon Jesus, the author and the perfecter of our faith. Help us, O God, to be so committed to you that, Lord, if we are the only one, then we are going to make it through with your help and with your grace. Lord, if our friends turn away, Lord, we are going to be disappointed, but Father, we're going to still press through because we know that you are the only way, that you are the truth, you are the only life, and outside of you, there is nothing. And so, Lord, search us and strengthen us and enable us, empower us to run this race and to bring glory and honor to your name. Give us some nation. So Lord, we thank you. We thank you, O God, for the love of Jesus Christ. Lord, that love that sent him all the way to the cross for us. Lord, that love that caused him to lay down his life for us and to experience the scourging and all of the rejection for us. Now we thank you, Lord, that you have already committed yourself to us. And you have shown us that through the death, burial, and resurrection of Christ. Now we thank you, O God, that you will never leave us and you will never forsake us. We thank you, Lord, that you have committed yourself to meet our needs. You have committed yourself, O God, to strengthen us. You have committed yourself, O God, to walk with us. Lord, you have gone so far as to deposit your Spirit inside of us, telling us, O God, that there is more in store for us, sealing us unto the day of Christ. And so, Father, as we leave you, Lord, I pray you might go with us, Lord, that your anointing might rest upon us. And that, Father, as we interact with people, they might see that's a settled issue as to who is our God and who we will serve. That, Lord, we're not in some valley of indecision anymore. But, Lord, we have already made up our mind that we're going all the way with you. And, Lord, may that commitment, oh God, cause them to be ready to ask us a question. Why do we have this hope? And then, oh God, we'll be able to share with them about your goodness and your grace that's at work in our lives. So, Lord, we ask you to watch over us. Protect us from harm. Protect us from the evil one. And continue to draw us into yourself, we pray, in Jesus' name. And all of God's people said, and amen.